Subheading: O Jehovah, for a judgment you have set it. After describing the ferocious nature of the invaders, Habakkuk was inspired to explain that the Chaldean war machine was going to serve as Jehovah's official punishing agent. Habakkuk 1:12 reads, Are you not from long ago, O Jehovah, O my God, my Holy One? You do not die. O Jehovah, for a judgment you have set it, and O rock, for a reproving you have founded it. Thus the principle is established whereby, although Jehovah does not create such man-eating beastly entities, it may suit his purpose at times to simply allow already existing institutions to serve as the executioners of his judgments by not stopping them from carrying out their evil work. God originally communicated most of the Bible's prophecies by means of visions. And just as the visions of Revelation, Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and others have not seen their ultimate fulfillment yet, so it is that the vision of Habakkuk is also reserved for the actual time of the end. That is why God tells his watchman, Habakkuk, to write down the vision so as to preserve a record of it, because, as Jehovah says, for the vision is yet for the appointed time, and it keeps panting on to the end, and it will not tell a lie. Even if it should delay, keep in expectation of it, for it will without fail come true. It will not be late. In spite of the fact that the Scripture clearly states that the vision is for a future appointed time, an appointed time which even the Watchtower teaches is still future, according to Bethel's Inchoate Commentary on Habakkuk, the many wars and atrocities of the 20th century are somehow the work of the modern Chaldean. For example, commenting on Habakkuk 2:5, the February 1, 2000 issue of the Watchtower states, Who is this man who cannot be satisfied? With voracity like that of Babylon of Habakkuk's time, this composite man, made up of political powers, whether fascist, Nazi, communist, or even so-called democratic, fights wars in order to expand his lands. He also fills Sheol, the grave, with innocent souls. But this treacherous composite man of Satan's world, drunk with his own self-assured importance, meets with no success in gathering to himself all the nations and collecting together to himself all the peoples. Only Jehovah God can unite all mankind, and he will accomplish this through the Messianic Kingdom. End quote. The article states that the modern-day Chaldean is a composite of all the nations, and that the atrocities the prophecy presages have supposedly already been committed during the past 20th century. The aforementioned Watchtower also states, What blood guilt we find on the earth today! Yet in the 20th century alone, blood-guilty nations and ethnic groups have been responsible for the slaughter of more than 100 million humans. Woe to those sharing in these bloodbaths! Oddly, while asserting that the destruction of Judah envisioned in Habakkuk typifies Christendom's eventual annihilation, the Watchtower also attributes all of the genocides and atrocities of the 20th century to Jehovah's executioner. Further betraying their lack of insight into the prophecy of Habakkuk, the Watchtower declares that the modern Chaldean meets with no success. Obviously, though, the executioner of Jehovah's judgments does attain a measure of success, since he is doing God's work, such as it is. He only fails to reach his goal of eradicating Jehovah's worshipers from the earth. However, if the society's interpretation is correct, it means that the Nazis and Soviets, the Red Chinese and the Khmer Rouge, and numerous other despots were all serving Jehovah's purpose when they mercilessly destroyed tens of millions of lives. And still, the questions remain unanswered. If those wicked regimes served as God's punishing agents, then why does injustice, strife, and oppression still prevail earthwide? And why does Christendom still exist? Furthermore, why has not God miraculously appeared to set things straight, as Habakkuk envisioned? It should be obvious that those wicked governments did not serve God's purpose. Clearly, Habakkuk's prophecy concerns the future appointed time of Judgment Day, even as Jehovah told Habakkuk, the vision is yet for the appointed time. As is the case with numerous other prophecies, it is evident that Jehovah has also concealed the true meaning of Habakkuk until such time as the vision comes to life. As if a sleeping Leviathan suddenly awakens to prey upon an unsuspecting world, that is the way the vision is presented. That is why at Habakkuk 3:1, the prophet implores Jehovah with these words, "O Jehovah, I have heard the report about you. I have become afraid of your activity. In the midst of the years, oh, bring it to life. In the midst of the years, may you make it known. During the agitation, to show mercy, may you remember." At this late date, as the world seems to be on an unalterable death march towards eventual all-out war and inevitable use of weapons of mass destruction, it seems particularly timely to consider what the vision of Habakkuk actually portends for the future. Habakkuk introduces us to the Chaldean by describing him as a bitter, impetuous, and fear-inspiring nation. The 8th verse reads, "And its horses have proved swifter than leopards, and they have proved fiercer than evening wolves. And its steeds have pawed the ground, and from far away its own steeds come. They fly like the eagle, speeding to eat something." In centuries past, the fearless war horse was the ultimate in military hardware. A charging cavalry or horse-drawn charioteers could quickly cover ground on the battlefield and easily overwhelm or outflank mere foot soldiers. This gives rise to the question, if the primitive Babylonian army was at one time described as such a formidable conqueror of nations, how much more fear-inspiring are modern mechanized military forces? Without dispute, the modern American military is the most awesome and terrible war machine that has ever existed on this earth. No single nation can possibly hope to defy the overwhelming might of the Anglo-American military superiority. The most recent war in the Persian Gulf region provided the world a small glimpse of the shock and awe that the United States is capable of unleashing. From bases halfway around the globe, or from gigantic floating air bases in the seas, literally thousands of supersonic warplanes can swoop down from the heavens, launching precision laser-guided missiles with deadly pinpoint accuracy. Ground-linked orbiting satellites even provide the soldier on the ground the capability of guiding sea or air-launched cruise missiles and huge bunker-busting bombs to within mere feet of targets anywhere on Earth. And those are just conventional weapons and technology that are in the formidable U.S. arsenal. More than a dozen nuclear-armed submarines prowl under the oceans of the world night and day. Merely one of these vessels is capable of obliterating an entire nation at a moment's notice with push-button ease. Besides many thousands of nuclear weapons, reportedly there are various secret weapons that are either under development or that simply have not been used in battle yet. Certainly, if the Chaldean army was considered to be fear-inspiring, How much more so is the modern military of the Anglo-American superpower?